In the Domino Diaries, subtitled My Decade Boxing with Olympic Champions and Chasing Hemingway's Ghost in the Last Days of Castro's Cuba, Bryn Jonathan Butler uses the stories of several Cuban athletes, most of them boxers, to present his own relationship with the complicated circumstances of Cuba. Bryn Jonathan Butler, welcome to Only a Game.
Thank you for having me.
You originally went to Cuba, as you put it, to find a boxing trainer and to meet the guy from The Old Man and the Sea. The trainer in question was Olympic boxer Hector Vinant, and, of course, the man was the man Hemingway based his famous novel upon. Remarkably, you went two for two, right?
This is true, yeah. So I literally bumped into Hector Vinant in Havana and worked out a deal for him to train me for $6 a day, which just kind of defies imagination to have somebody that exquisite at what they do for such an affordable amount of money, such as life under communism, unfortunately. And with The Old Man and the Sea, Gregorio Fuentes, I found out that at 103 years old, he was still living in the same town, actually, of Cojimar. So $15 and a bottle of rum and a cigar, because he still smoked at that time. He talked to me about his relationship to Hemingway. So from the outset, Cuba just was just extraordinary in how welcoming it was.
The man who introduced you to Hector Vinant said, he doesn't live any better than someone selling peanuts in the street. Would you please read the few sentences that follow that comment?
Yeah. As I looked on, I couldn't help trying to imagine stumbling upon Joe DiMaggio at a supermarket or Jack Nicholson waiting in line to catch the bus. Maybe it was more like unearthing a Cezanne while rummaging through piles of used IKEA prints at a garage sale. This was a human being who represented a deliberately uncashed winning sweepstakes ticket.
Was that when you found the theme of your book, that is, the distinctions between athletes who stay in Cuba and those who leave the island?
Oh, very much so. The dialectic that really intrigued me was that the Cuban athletes had to pretend like there was no cost to that decision, to saying no to a potentially $100 million career. I mean, some of these people could have been Muhammad Ali, they could have been Mike Tyson, and they said no and lived in relative poverty. And then I looked at athletes who'd left. I went out to see them in Miami to see how their life had unfolded and to see that the American dream offered them all of those material means that they lacked in Cuba, but they were desperately hungry for the society they left behind back on the island. The system isn't about individuals there. It's the system itself that is the only superstar.
The distinction between boxers Hector Vinant and Teofilo Stevenson, national heroes in Cuba, and those who left the island, like pitcher Orlando El Duque Hernandez and boxer Guillermo Rigondo, is dramatic. Given recent developments in relations between the U.S. and Cuba, will there still be such a distinction in the future?
No, I think it is evolving. 98% of all the athletes since Castro came to power stayed. And now you have this vastly lucrative human smuggling operation. It's just a nightmare for the government, and they need to come up with some kind of compromise. So I think that the middle ground will be allowing these guys to be farmed out the way that they've done with coaches. They've allowed coaches to train internationally. But I think very quickly what we're seeing in Cuba right now is very much a two-tier system of have and have-nots, and I don't know how tenable that is, and I think it's only going to get worse as more and more tourism succeeds where the Bay of Pigs fails in changing that society.
The great Cuban boxer Teofilo Stevenson, Olympic champion, looms over the book, and at the end of the Domino Diaries, you describe the interview that you finally were able to have with him. What did you discover?
Well, I discovered a man who firmly held to his convictions. It's the last interview he ever granted before his death. And in his time, 1976, he was offered $5 million to fight Muhammad Ali. He received that offer several times from different promoters. But he wouldn't talk to me unless I gave him $130 under the table. So if Fidel Castro is going to hold up his athletes to say this is an example for all Cubans about what we stand for, when they're asking for money because they're so desperate, you have to also hold them up as an example of the things that didn't work out with the revolution, and the system couldn't pretend that there wasn't a cost.
When you talk about people that you run into on this journey, you really surprise me with one of them. Who'd have guessed you would have an affair with Fidel Castro's granddaughter?
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming either. As I say, it's the biggest small town in the world. You never know who you're going to bump into, and it just turned out a beautiful girl at a New Year's party happened to have some pretty famous bloodline.
And as far as kissing and telling, that's, I'm sure, all you're going to want to say.
Well, I think she was a pretty interesting gal, aside from looks. She was very bright. The fact that it broke off, I don't think, probably helped my standing as far as being able to return either, but there you go.
Don't let this guy back into the country. He broke my heart.
Probably the other way around, but yeah.
Did you finally come away from this project with an understanding of why so many great boxers and other athletes have elected to remain in Cuba? Did you feel you understood that in your heart as well as intellectually?
Well, I think it goes back to when Columbus first arrived in Cuba, just before he wiped everybody out there through genocide, slavery, and starvation and suicide. He asked them, hey, is this an island? And one of the natives, the Taino, said, yeah, it is an island, but it's infinite. And I think 11 years later, I understand a lot less about Cuba than when I started. That's sort of what I wanted to offer with the book, was just to capture some of that the best that I could.
Bryn Jonathan Butler is the author of The Domino Diaries, My Decade Boxing with Olympic Champions and Chasing Hemingway's Ghost in the Last Days of Castro's Cuba. He joined me from NPR's New York Bureau. Thank you very much for speaking with me.
Oh, my pleasure.